Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked on Wolves. Today on the show, an update on Karl-Anthony Towns, what he's up to, as Chris Finch is saying about Towns' potential return. Also, a look again at some playoff matchups. There's a Bleacher Report article about tough playoff matchups, one that the Wolves could have an advantage in and one that they may struggle with, pretty similar to what I said here a couple weeks ago. We'll also look at the power rankings around the league and peek ahead at the Wolves' upcoming schedule. It's all upcoming on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked on Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked on Wolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked on Wolves. Happy Thursday, everybody. And a big thank you, first of all, for making Locked on Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find Locked on Wolves. You can also watch on the Locked on Sports Minnesota app. That's along with all the other Minnesota podcasts available on Roku and Amazon Fire TV. Again, the app is called Locked on Sports Minnesota. More great local sports coverage 24/7, and it's free. Download the Locked on Sports Minnesota app today on Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked on T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And my account, which is at B Beacon, and that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, the Wolves are coming off a difficult loss on Tuesday night to the Philadelphia 76ers, held under 100 points for the first time in a while. A complete offensive outage, that coming on the heels of a three-game winning streak, which is an impressive, you know, 3-1 road trip to California, and now they're in this stretch of games against the Eastern Conference. We'll talk a little more about that later. Next up is the Brooklyn Nets on Friday night in Minnesota. Thursday, the Nets are in Milwaukee to take on the Bucks. The Wolves will again have a rest advantage that obviously did not help them on Tuesday, but they will have a rest advantage again Friday with the team, the Nets, traveling in after playing on the road in Milwaukee the night before. So hopefully the Wolves were off Wednesday. They practice Thursday and get back at it against the Nets Friday night. Hopefully that the rest advantage helps this time around. I want to talk a little about Karl-Anthony Towns. Chris Finch was on the radio. I think he was on the Dan Barrero show he was on the Paul Allen show. I don't know. Hang on. I have it here. But he was on, the radio. Yeah, he was on the Paul Allen show on Wednesday morning and talked a little bit about Karl-Anthony Towns and said Towns was doing some what he called live activity on the floor on Wednesday, yesterday, which was the first time in what Finch said it was, quote, forever controlled live action on the floor. And he talked about how Towns was looking forward to doing that. So he hasn't played any live action, not just practice. He hasn't played live action on the floor at all during this period of time. That's what that tells me. And we're talking almost 3.5 months. I think it'll be 3.5 months this weekend since the injury in late November. That's crazy. I mean, like, in my mind, he was doing some live activity, even if it wasn't sanctioned team practices, right? Like, maybe he was playing 2-on-2 after practice or whatever. But it sounds like it's the first time he's done live activity. And I know that, you know, they do all kinds of other stuff to try and replicate live action and you know, try and help build stamina, et cetera. But I mean, the playoffs start in a month, or the play-in is in a month, or whatever the Wolves end up doing come mid-April. But the, you know, the reports right before the All-Star break were early to mid-March is when the Wolves had hoped to have Towns back. Well, we're early to mid-March now. Mid-March is like the next week to 10 days, and then we're into late March, right? It still feels a little behind the schedule that was already behind. And of course, everybody's got an opinion about how cagey the Wolves have been about this. And I think cagey is the right word, right? Or really not even cagey. The Timberwolves have forced Chris Finch to be cagey, is how I look at this. The Wolves have been completely silent. If you go back, the Wolves haven't said anything other than the original timeline of indefinite with Karl-Anthony Towns. All the reporting's been done by sourced reporting nationally, a little bit more locally recently. But remember, Adrian Wojnarowski initially came out and said 4 to 6 weeks with a grade 2 strain. That obviously was never the case. That would have meant back by Christmas, maybe New Year's, or 2 months past the 6 weeks, 2 months past the 6 weeks time frame. And Towns came out, of course, on Twitch, I think about a month ago, 5-6 weeks ago, and said, hey, that timeline was never right. It was more serious than that. It was a more serious strain than was, you know, the public was led to believe. but the team has never said anything. And I think on some level, that's okay. Like, it's okay for the team to pick and choose what they're going to say. Like, they're never completely transparent about injuries, right? But we're not talking about, no offense, we're not talking about Luka Garza or, like, I don't know, insert, you know, Nate Knight, right? Like, random end of bench guy, right? We're talking about a multiple-time All-NBA, three-time All-Star, max contract player who is supposed to be the face of your franchise and was until Anthony Edwards showed up. I think the fans, and frankly, Towns too, because Towns is clearly frustrated based on some of the comments that he made on his Twitch stream and maybe IG Live as well. Like, clearly, Towns has a level of frustration. So I think it's the right thing to do by Towns to be a little more transparent, obviously keeping him in the loop on what all you're actually saying as an organization. And certainly the fans, I always think it's weird to say, like, oh, you owe it to the fans. Because, I mean, like, hey, there's so many layers to this, right? Because there's the player, there's everybody in the front office, there's the coaching staff, there's it is a business. Like, there's, and obviously the fans are a big part of that. But, it, like, I don't know, I would say that they owe it to the fans. I just think it's weird. Like, we're in a weird place now. Nobody officially knows anything about Karl-Anthony Towns' injury. We only know that he was out indefinitely and that there have been sourced reports that have, to this point, been inaccurate regarding the severity of the injury and the timeline for his return. So it's just weird. Like, it's just like, we don't have any official information. The Wolves have just ignored the situation, and it's getting weirder. Because there's now this kind of, you know, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago, there's more of a national, like, hey, what's going on with Towns? And that was around the time when Finch made the comment that he was in the final stages, in quotes, is that's what he said, final stages of recovery. That was like 2 full weeks ago. And he still hadn't played live action on the floor. So I guess maybe final stages in Finch's mind were final stages of rehab before getting on the floor, right? Like, and it's not Chris Finch's fault because he can only say what he's allowed to say. So he's the one that's been cagey, but not, I don't think, by choice. I think it's just based on what the organization has allowed him to say. And of course, Darren Wolfson had the reporting, I think it was on the Scoop podcast about a week ago, where he talked about Towns' camp, his agent, you know, et cetera. Everybody's a little worried about him coming back too early, getting a compensation injury. Remember, of course, the terrible Kevin Durant Achilles tear after coming back early from the calf strain. Like, that's a nightmare scenario, obviously, right? If that happens at this point, you miss all of next season too. And now you're talking about effectively two lost seasons in the prime of Towns' career, the front end of the prime of his career. So I get being careful, but in my mind, where it's now gotten so late in the season, I mean, you only have, what, less than 20 games left? 15 games left, if I'm not mistaken? Is that right? Am I doing that math right? 66 games? They have, 16 games left in the regular season. So, I don't know. Like, and I think by the way, the reporting prior to the All-Star break was that the Wolves wanted him back with 15 to 20 games left. And I think I was predicting that potentially it could be this game, or the Friday against the Nets, or Atlanta next week. That obviously doesn't look like it's happening now. If he's not practicing, unless he practices Thursday, which would be a surprise after only playing live action in any way once, you know, the day before that, perhaps the Hawks game's an option, but I think that's pretty unlikely. And if you're going to try and ramp him up and not, you know, at least minimize the chance of getting a compensation injury, you got to get moving. You got to get moving really quickly. There's so many layers to this, and I think just generally, it's disappointing that this is how the Wolves have handled it, and it sounds like Towns is frustrated. Certainly the fans are frustrated. I'm sure Chris Finch is frustrated. It feels like another kind of unforced error from Tim Connelly in the Wolves front office, and there's been a few of those, it seems like, since his hiring, and I'm not one to jump on the, like, it's so early to judge really anything he's done, but the early returns aren't great. And this just feels, I think, unforced error is probably the best way to say it. Okay. Next, what I want to do here today, I want to get into some playoff matchups. And I did this a couple weeks ago, but there's another article written about it. And it kind of backs up what I was saying a couple weeks ago. So I want to touch on that, revisit matchup standings in the West. Then we'll do some power rankings here and peek at the next few games for the Wolves. And that'll be how we close out the show here today. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends at Nissan. Nissan's most electric player of the week is brought to us by the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. The player of the week this week is Jaden McDaniels. He was obviously a little bit quieter on Tuesday, but I'm going back to last weekend when Jaden had the big road trip. You know, going back to the middle part of last week, locking down some Clippers players, locking down the Lakers, helping out in that Kings game, which was obviously a little more high scoring. But Jaden McDaniels has kind of been the talk of the Timberwolves over the last week. He is an absolutely fierce competitor on both ends of the floor, really, but he's completely fiercely elegant, just like the Nissan Ariya. He's elegantly powerful as well, Jaden McDaniels is. Just like the Nissan Ariya, he delivers on duality, the combination of fierceness and elegance, beautiful but strong, the perfect crossover. Jaden McDaniels does have a nice crossover, by the way, for as lanky as he is, and as little as he puts the ball on the floor. He's done a lot more this year than last year, but he's got a really nice crossover, just like the crossover SUV, the Nissan Ariya. The 2023 Nissan Ariya packs pin-you-to-your-seat power and premium intelligence all in one EV, the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya, the EV for people who love to drive. Shop now at NissanUSA.com. All right, moving on here, I want to talk a little bit about playoff matchups. So a couple weeks ago, I talked about how the Dallas Mavericks are actually a pretty favorable matchup for the Wolves, which sounds kind of crazy on its face, but then you consider just how well the Wolves have played the Mavs so far this year, beating them 2 out of 3 times. Now, only once was with Kyrie Irving in the fold for Dallas, but Dallas loves to play isolation basketball on offense, and the Wolves, as Ant said, I don't know that it was after that game. It might've been, I think it was after the Clippers game a week ago. He said, hey, we love to defend in isolation. Like we're an isolation defensive team. And that's how the Wolves shut down the Mavericks, right? Of course, the famous final possession, the 11, 12 seconds when McDaniels tips the ball away. And between Ant and Jaden McDaniels guarding Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, the Mavs don't get a single shot off in the final 12 seconds of that game when the Wolves won a couple of weeks ago, that overtime win. But in general, like that's obviously an extreme example. But of course, on the flip side, Kyrie Irving had a massive fourth quarter to pull the Mavericks back into that game after the Wolves had a double-digit lead early in the fourth quarter and had led for much of the game. So it's obviously a dangerous game that you're playing a team with talented offensive players like Dallas and Luka, arguably one of the best three players in the league. It's you're playing with fire when you play the Dallas Mavericks. However, the Wolves do tend to struggle more against well-coached teams. I'll let that stand. It's not supposed to be a shot at Jason Kidd, but I would argue there's a lot of teams that are better coached than the Dallas Mavericks in the Western Conference. The Wolves struggle against well-coached teams, good passing teams, teams that are solid in transition and take care of the basketball. And the Mavericks don't fit that mold, right? I think Jason Kidd can be out-coached. I think that Kyrie and Luka can be matched up against in isolation. And I think the Mavs don't have those ancillary pieces that really scare you. Now, obviously anybody can get hot for a game or two and anyone can take over a playoff. Well, not anyone, but many people can take over a playoff series. So I recognize that. But again, the whole, like if you're talking about the playoffs, by definition, the teams in the playoffs are good, right? So obviously anything can happen. But in terms of the matchups the Wolves are likely to get kind of in that packed middle of the Western Conference, the Mavericks one is not bad. And in this write-up at Bleacher Report, which is by Greg Swartz, he talks about the Timberwolves' best matchup, he talks about the worst matchup for the Mavericks. That's the tenor of the article is every projected NBA playoff team's nightmare matchup. The Mavericks' nightmare matchup is the Timberwolves. The Wolves are 2-1 against the Mavs with a plus 3.2 net rating. And then he says, well, the Wolves may not scare teams the way the Suns, Warriors, or Nuggets would. They remain a bad matchup for the Mavs. Dallas dropped their first meeting in the Kyrie Irving era. That was the Wolves game I already talked about. And Kyrie and Luka combined for 69 points in that game. They could not win. Gobert was 9 of 9 shooting, had 21 and 14. Offers enough rim deterrence to force Irving and Doncic to make jumpers, while neither has the defensive chops to slow down Anthony Edwards, who scored 32 in that game. And then he talks about how they'll just be a really dangerous team, which that's, you know, I talked about the isolation defense, but that's a good point that Swartz brings up. And we talked about this, of course, after the game when the Wolves beat the Mavs a couple weeks ago. Who's guarding Anthony Edwards on this Mavericks team after the trade deadline? They don't have perimeter defense. So the Mavs have a you know, poor perimeter defense. They don't have the size to really deal with Gobert. And they're reliant on isolation scoring on offense. And the Wolves can shut down isolation scoring. They have Gobert and should have Karl-Anthony Towns in the playoffs. And they also have Anthony Edwards. And who's guarding Anthony Edwards? The Mavericks remain a really good matchup for the Wolves. And I thought that that was, I don't know, validation for what I said here a couple weeks ago. The nightmare matchup for the Wolves, according to Greg Swartz at Bleacher Report, is the Golden State Warriors. The Wolves are 1-2 against the Warriors this year. I believe they play them one more time. And a -7.5 net rating. Swartz says, the key to beating the Rudy Gobert-led Utah Jazz teams in the playoffs the past few years was to go small, space the floor, and pull the talented shot blocker out of the paint as much as possible. What team can go small better than these Warriors? Golden State has a net rating of +6.7 in lineups when Draymond Green plays center, a move that allows the Warriors to get all their most talented players, Curry, Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, on the floor at the same time. Add in the playoff experience against the new Wolves core that's yet to make a postseason run together, and this would truly be a nightmare scenario for Minnesota. I don't disagree. I identified the Warriors as one of the toughest matchups for the Wolves in the West. I think in general, the Wolves have played the Warriors okay, but the point about going small is a really, really good one. I mean, you can kind of play Rudy off the floor in that scenario. And in theory, you can play Karl-Anthony Towns at the five and play a smaller lineup. If you're the Timberwolves, but you obviously don't want to do that given what you gave up for Rudy Gobert and what he does for them defensively. But it's also an option you have to consider, right? Looking at the Western Conference, like other teams that would be bad matchups, obviously the Suns, a really good mid-range jump shooting team, a versatile offense that can do things, you know, a couple different ways with you, a good pick and roll team, although the Wolves are a little better suited to handle that now with no D'Angelo Russell and with Mike Conley. But I don't know, that's probably the other one that scares me the most. Like the Grizzlies aren't a great matchup, but the Wolves play the Grizzlies tough. The Wolves, I think, would play the Kings tough. Same with even the Nuggets. Like, obviously, you don't want to play the Nuggets. They're arguably the best team in the league, but I think you can handle the Nuggets. Like the Suns and Warriors, honestly, to me, are just as bad or worse of matchups as Memphis, Sacramento, or Denver would be for Minnesota. Incidentally, the Wolves, this is through play on... Yeah, the game's still happening. Won't have any impact on this. But through the Dallas game on Wednesday night, the Wolves have now identical records. The Wolves, Mavs, and Clippers have identical records. The Wolves are in sixth by way of winning both of those tiebreakers over the Clippers and Mavs. So the Wolves are currently in sixth in the West, but have the same record. By the way, the Wolves are only a half game behind the Warriors for fifth. Golden State's lost two in a row. The Wolves are a half game behind Golden State for fifth. Now, Golden State currently holds that tiebreaker over the Wolves as well, but Minnesota remains in sixth. So you're still talking about a half game that separates four teams between the five and eight seeds. So those tiebreakers are really important. And don't look now, but the Lakers have won a couple straight. The Thunder have won three straight and are threatening to catch the Pelicans in the 10 spot. The Lakers are up to nine as Portland and Utah continue to kind of free fall, especially Utah. Their early season efforts are being undone by the tanking at the trade deadline, the asset collection that Danny Ainge is doing in Salt Lake City. But anyway, the Wolves are in that, you know, kind of cluster of teams: Warriors, Wolves, Mavs, Clippers, all within a half game of each other between 5 and 8 in the West, and you know, some pretty intriguing matchups in there as well. All right, let's close today by looking at the power rankings, peeking at the Wolves' schedule upcoming. We'll do all that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want all the fat and calories? Then you have to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. And when I say holidays, you know, I'm included Valentine's Day. Yes, that was 3 weeks ago. We still have Valentine's Day candy in the house. Trust me, I've got multiple kids, and they all have Valentine's Day candy, and it's still floating around the house. But if you don't want to compromise taste, then I've got just the thing for you. You got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious that you won't even think that they're good for you. What makes Built bars so good? Well, for starters, they're all covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter, brownie, and coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they're healthy. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about here at Locked On Wolves, ordering your Built bars at built.com. You can still do that, But now you can also get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. If you're close to a Sam's Club, just run in and grab a 13-bar box with the hit flavors brownie batter and churro. Or again, you can still order at Built.com. Just make sure, no matter how you get your Built Bars, make sure that you thank me later. All right, let's close today's show by looking at some power rankings. First, the ESPN power ranking. I think this is interesting. This was actually done after the Wolves lost to the Sixers on Tuesday. This was a Wednesday ranking. The Wolves jumped from 16th a week ago to 12th. So this would have included, last week's 16th ranking would have been after the Clippers win. So this includes the wins over the Lakers and Kings over the weekend and then the loss to the Sixers. But they went up 4 spots to 12th in the ESPN power rankings. It says they went... They have an error in here. It says the Timberwolves had a big week against Western Conference opponents, going 4-0 against all four California teams. They didn't. They lost to the Warriors. They should have beaten the Warriors. And then it says, for how turbulent its season has been, Minnesota's in the thick of it. The Timberwolves can keep this up. They'll find themselves just where they want to be when Karl Anthony Towns returns. I thought it was interesting they were up to 12th. Incidentally, Miami's at 11, Golden State at 10. Of course, just a half game ahead of the Wolves in the West. Memphis at 9. So that's a really interesting grouping of teams there. Memphis, Golden State, Miami, Minnesota, Brooklyn at 13, and Dallas down at 14, Clippers at 15, Hawks at 16. I feel like that's maybe about right. You know, I'd maybe flip the Wolves and Nets at this point, but I mean, I guess they play each other Friday. But I understand the ranking there. At NBA.com, this ranking was done on Sunday. And as I always remind the listeners, NBA.com's power rankings with John Schumann are by far my favorites because they are very well thought out, multiple paragraphs on every team. He lists, you know, offensive, defensive, net rating stats, pace, and really kind of truly breaks down why he's ranking teams where they are. I don't know what all John Schumann does during the week, but he has to spend multiple days working on this column because there's extensive research that goes into it. But he has the Wolves up at 11th with a 5-spot jump in his column. This was before the Sixers' loss on Tuesday. So after the weekend of play, that, you know, coming off of those back-to-back wins, Lakers Friday, Sacramento Saturday, road wins. So at the time, they were 2 games above 500. But he's got them at 11 at the time, a defensive rating that was 10th in the league, an overall net rating of 17th. He says the Wolves would have had a 4-0 trip through California if they didn't blow a 12-point fourth-quarter lead against the Warriors. But the final 3 games of the trip were a terrific recovery and maybe their best 3-game stretch of the season. He talks about holding the two LA teams to just 99 points per 100 possessions. And the Wolves are back in the top 10 in defensive efficiency for what would be the first time in 19 years since, of course, the 2004 conference finals team with Kevin Garnett that lost Lakers in the conference finals, of course. By the way, last year they were top 10 for chunks of the season. I think they finished 12th or 13th in defensive rating, depending on where you look. But then they talk about the offense in the Sacramento game, outscoring the league's number one offense, having an effective field goal percentage higher than 70% for the fourth time this season, which is the most in the league, which is pretty incredible because you consider the Wolves have an offensive rating for the season of 21st, but yet they have had an effective field goal percentage greater than 70% 4 times this year, more than any other team in the league. He does talk about Anthony Edwards' increase in usage rate, but drop in efficiency being kind of papered over a little bit by Mike Conley having a big game on Saturday against the Kings. And then he says the Wolves will now play their next 8 games against the Eastern Conference, currently just 9-12 against the Eastern Conference. The Wolves play just 2 games over a stretch of 8 days that began Sunday, and they'll have rest advantages against both the Sixers and Nets this week. So, of course, they lost the Sixers badly on Tuesday. The Nets game is big, and I said this the other day. You can't lose this game and then go on the road to face Atlanta after another 2-day break, back at 500, probably down, you know, back into the play-in range in the West. This is a really big game, the Brooklyn Nets on Friday. And we'll spend a good chunk of Friday show previewing that matchup. We haven't seen the Nets in a really long time. Obviously, they look completely different. But if Minnesota wants to stay in the 6th spot in the West, wants to stay in that 11-12 spot in the power rankings on various sites, they have to have a good performance against Brooklyn on Friday. Looking beyond that, I mentioned this just a minute ago, but the Wolves have Brooklyn at home Friday. They again get 2 days off, Saturday off, Sunday off, and then they go to Atlanta to take on the Hawks on Monday evening. Of course, the Hawks recently made the coaching change. So the Wolves will face the Hawks at 6:30 on Monday. Then back home for a 1-game homestand, the 1-game road trip, 1-game homestand. It's been a while since we've had that at home against the Celtics next Wednesday. And then three consecutive road games against East opponents back to back next weekend, Chicago Friday, Toronto Saturday, at the Knicks on Monday. So winnable road games, but still road games nonetheless before the Wolves get Atlanta again. And then close the season with a really difficult stretch. I'm going to rattle these off real quick. At Golden State, at Sacramento, that's a back-to-back. At Phoenix, home for the Lakers in Portland. At that point, Portland's probably mailed it in, but you know they're still in it right now. The Lakers are obviously still in it. And then at Brooklyn, at San Antonio is the easiest game on the schedule. And then home for the Pelicans on a back-to-back matinee back-to-back. Saturday afternoon at New Orleans. Excuse me, Saturday afternoon at San Antonio, Sunday afternoon at home for the Pelicans to close the season. And I mean, like, given the standings right now, every indication is that those games are going to be really important when it comes to seeding, tiebreakers, et cetera, in the West. So, you know, expect those games to really matter down the stretch here this season. But it all starts Friday against Brooklyn. It's super important the Wolves close this mini homestand with a really strong, strong performance. All right, on Friday's show, we'll, of course, preview that matchup, among other things. And then Friday night, following Wolves-Nets, we'll do the live postcast with Barney Gellner on Locked On Sports Minnesota on YouTube. And then also you can find the audio on all the Locked On Wolves feeds as well, wherever you like to listen to podcasts. A big thank you to those that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. And you can follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and also at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts at all the biggest stories. Now make your second listen, the Game to Game NBA podcast. Every moment, every top performance, and every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.